Welcome, everybody. Before we officially call the meeting, we're doing actually something a little bit different tonight. We do have a work study session. So the work study session, some information, training, if you call it, that our attorney is going to be providing for us. During a work study session, you're more than welcome to listen, but there is no input from the public. And then upon conclusion of that, we'll proceed with our regular meeting, and that's in the same format. So we'll go ahead and call the work study session to order, and we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And Mr. Secretary, Madam Secretary, if you can note, we started the work session at 6:10.
Boris McCoy here.
Colleagues here.
Meyer Hazen.
Larry Bagshaw.
Sharon Hillman.
Russ Brown.
And Bob is not available. He's with his dad down in Phoenix. New business. The work study session presented by the district attorney regarding the application of open meeting laws of the state of Arizona in accordance with ARS 38-431.01 and all the subsequent sections, and then training on Arizona public records law per ARS 39-101 and all the following, and then their application to the business of the district. Good?
Sure. What I'd like to do first is just get a real broad overview of the open meeting law. Forrest asked me that I not put him to sleep, so hopefully it won't put you to sleep the first part. And then I want, you know, if you have questions and whatnot, ask me. I want it more interactive. You know, let's talk about some scenarios, things which the open meeting law seems to be real clear, and it is in some ways, but there's a lot of questions you could have. There's a lot of issues that could come up that it's not real clear. Does that violate the open meeting law? Does it not? You know, it's not all cut and dried every time. And so the more we discuss, the more we talk, the more we learn, all of us, the better it is for all of us. The open meeting law basically says all meetings of any public body shall be public meetings, and all persons so desiring shall be permitted to attend and listen to the deliberations and proceedings. Let's boil that down to the business of the district should be done in open. Okay? You should be doing your business out in the open where the public can see it. Now, what's interesting is we always allow, every entity I've represented always allows public comment. You don't have to allow public comment. That's, you know, you can do it if you want. Most, all the entities I represent do it. Also, you don't have to listen to the public. The public open meeting law says they get to come and listen to you, but you don't have to allow them to speak on any subject. There's one exception, and that is if you're having a public hearing that's required by law, then obviously the public hearing is to hear from the public. But other than that, you don't have to hear from them. You know, it's a good thing probably to hear from them most all the time, but you don't have to. It's only that they get to come and listen in and hear your deliberations on things. The legislature has come out and said basically, in response to a couple of court cases and whatnot, they basically said, look, you should interpret the open meeting law in favor of openness always. So that's our instruction from the legislature, is we should interpret it as in favor of openness, to the best we can do that. Now, there's obviously some exceptions to the open meeting law, and that's what we just had one with an executive session. Obviously, sometimes a public entity needs to talk to their attorney. That's one exception. You would talk to your attorney without the public hearing because, you know, that doesn't make a lot of sense if you're talking about, there's an exception for lawsuits, obviously. You can go in and talk, you know, out of the public ear about lawsuits that are going on. One really easy example to use why it should be done in public is, let's say the district needs to buy a piece of property right down here, and they really need to have it. Well, you wouldn't go out and announce that in public and then try to go negotiate a price, because then they know you gotta have it, and then their price goes up. Obviously, you want to keep that confidential until you've gone and got a contract on it if you need to buy it. All meetings are covered, whether it's a work, this is called a work or study meeting. It has to be posted, it has to allow the public to come in, just the same as any official meeting that we're gonna have at 7 o'clock. It doesn't matter what you call the meeting, it's covered by the open meeting law. All legal action of the board has to be done in the open meeting. Now, meetings can be defined and included as phone calls, emails, those kinds of things. You can't try to get around the open meeting law by exchanging emails instead of talking to each other. Either one could violate the open meeting law.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Somebody sends me an email from a board member and it covers all the other board members. That's more than two people, right?
Yeah, we'll address that in just a second. Let me read this one thing and then we'll cover that. Okay. It says, all discussions, deliberations, considerations, or consultations, so they're trying to cover everything there, among a majority of the members of the district board regarding matters that may foreseeably require final action or a final decision by the governing body constitutes legal action. So any of your discussions that could lead to a final decision are covered. It's pretty broad.
By the open law.
By the open law, right. And it must be conducted in public meeting or executive session. Okay. Here's another direct quote. Discussions between less than a majority of the members of the district, when used to circumvent the purposes of the open meeting law, violate that law. Forrest talks to Tom about an agenda item that's coming up. It's less than a majority, so you really haven't violated the open meeting law, in theory. And then you three decide the Maher is going to go talk to Larry and Sharon. Well, that's clearly a violation of open meeting law. Now you've got five people that have talked, not all at the same time, but you can't go out and recruit other opinions and whatnot. That violates the open meeting law. So, to your question, you send out the email, it goes to everybody. I don't think that's a violation of the open meeting law, okay, that by itself. When Tom responds to it, and to everybody, and then Larry's responds, and you have this email discussion about the issue, that's where you get in trouble. That's where I think it might violate the open meeting law, okay? So then you get all kinds of nuances. You send it to two, but only Tom responds. Does that violate the open meeting law? You know, there's a lot of questions there, and a lot of it depends on who's doing the training. If you had somebody from the Attorney General's office here giving the training, they would say, if Maher looks at Tom in the grocery store, it probably violates the open meeting law. That's an exaggeration. But I've been in trainings where they just interpret it. I've been in trainings with city attorneys organization, the AG's office is in there, and they say something, and all the attorneys in the office, you know, all the city attorneys are like, what? Yeah,
I take Tom to his restaurant for dinner, there's three of us, isn't
it? It may not, if you're not discussing district business, then you can't violate the open meeting law if you never discuss business. Public perception? What are you three doing? Of course you're talking some district, well, that's the public perception, whether you do it or not.
Right.
So it's probably not a good idea, it's really not a good idea for four of you to get together and have dinner, even if you're not discussing the district business.
So as an example, treasurer sends out a report, the treasurer's report, she can send that to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
One person, if they have a question, can respond or ask Sharon a question related. But the response should really go to his name.
That's correct. I agree with that. If you're copying everybody on the response to Sharon, and somebody else picks it up and talks to everybody, I think you're getting into some trouble.
So what I said was, if Sharon sent out the treasurer's report,
right.
Let's say I had a question on it. I should be responding just to Sharon with the question.
Sure.
Now, if that causes Sharon, for example, to have to amend her report, Sharon can go back and say, this has been pointed out to me, I've amended the report, here's the report back. That's all not in violation.
Now, where Sharon would have to be careful is you send the report out, and Maher responds, and then Tom responds, and then you get a fourth response coming in from Forrest, and now you, well, in essence, talked to four of them. That probably shouldn't be done. You should probably cut it off then and say, no, we're going to have to wait till we get to the meeting, then we'll discuss it in the meeting.
I won't respond.
If we all ask her about a different item on that report, I mean...
Yes, that's where it gets real, real sticky.
Well, and here's a question again. The treasurer's report, there's really no action that's taken. It just, it's presented and it's accepted.
So that, but it goes back to that does it foreseeably require final action or a final decision? And then the argument there would be no.
Yeah.
Now, you don't take an act.
If it was a budget, then that's a final, then that could be an issue.
That's correct.
But a treasurer's report is just simply a report. So even if you had four people asking clarifying questions independently, there is no action that's taken. Yeah. We don't accept it.
But you got to be careful there, right, in that. So the same thing could apply. The four of you could get together and discuss the treasurer's report, and it wouldn't violate. I don't think anybody's going to say that doesn't violate the open meeting law, even if it doesn't lead to a final action.
Any questions you have about that report? If we do it here, that's okay.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, definitely, it's open meeting. You can talk about it all you want. Assuming that it's on the agenda properly and it's been posted properly.
Treasury report.
Well, the posting is by law, and we've been doing it for, I know, that we just have to do it right each time. It has to be done 24 hours before the meeting, and the agenda has to list the item and give the public a reasonable idea of what you're discussing.
So, question. So, taking again, not the treasurer's report, some other item that is on the agenda for action,
mm-hmm,
and a board member sends out, I remember reading something that a board member can send something to all other members of the board as long as he or she does not propose an action. In other words,
right,
I think you should vote for this.
Right, exactly.
Make any statement like that. If they're just providing information or analysis.
That's a good point. If you're right, if you're sending something out to everybody and you're conducting the business, i.e. trying to get them to vote your way in that email, I don't think that's a violation.
But for example,
even though we response, you're working more than...
Right. But if you just send the information, no comment about what you...
Right.
You may find this informative.
Then you're okay.
You're okay.
In my opinion, you're okay.
So if, for example, the board had an item and Russ was assigned to investigate that item, mm-hmm, whatever it is. Russ has his report, but wants to give that report to the board members to review in advance. Russ can send out that report and says, here's my report for discussion at the meeting. I'm giving it to you in advance to give you ample opportunity.
Please don't ask, please don't share.
Reserve discussions with the public.
Isn't there a nice...
That's permitting, right?
Yeah. Yes, mm-hmm, yes. Because if you read it so tight that you couldn't do that, then you're coming here and you're going to have to read this report of, let's say it's 5 pages. And so you're not
ready
to have to wait. Well, they don't want to sit here while you guys read 5-page report. You know, so that's, in my opinion, that's helping the public get it moving along and faster and better.
Is there a paragraph or anything that we could put in our emails regarding this not being forwarded and or responded to type thing?
I've never seen one. I don't know. I mean, we've certainly come up with some language.
I think it's just something to the effect that this is for information only and to be discussed.
Please discuss with other board members. I've seen something like that.
Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit later. Not as detailed, I don't think, as the opening, but the public record law. Obviously, what you send out is public record.
Right.
It doesn't matter if it's email, it doesn't matter if it's board only, it's a public record, and any member of the public can come here and ask to see it.
Right. If they know it exists.
Greg sends us recommendations all the time, but he's not a board member, so it doesn't matter.
Now, that's a...
Do I send recommendations?
Yes, you send board, staff recommend.
Yeah, sure. Now, I bring up the second question. Can you instruct, let's say Maher really wants to know how everybody's going to vote on some big, huge issue coming in. Can he tell Greg, Greg, you go poll the members outside and come back and tell me how they're going to vote? Can't do that, okay? You can't direct staff to go do something that you're prohibited from doing yourself, okay? So Greg can't go do it any more than you can, to go poll people, see how they're going to vote, do that. Now, can Greg send out something and say, this is the staff's recommendation? Of course, yes, definitely you can do that. And Greg has to be a little careful himself. When if four of you are going to discuss with him what that recommendation is and all the details about it, that probably violates the open meeting law. You know, he can discuss with a couple of you and whatnot, but most of the discussion should be done here. Exactly. The discussion should be done here more than before the meeting. Now, that doesn't mean that he can't discuss it with your chairman and be ready for the meeting and those things. You know, we don't want to read it so tight where we're having 4-hour meetings because we didn't discuss anything ahead of time.
We have.
And it, you know, that doesn't violate the open meeting.
That we're meeting.
Have Maher talk all he wants with Greg about what's coming up.
That meeting goes so long that the public gets up and goes home.
That's a fair point. Is if you're making it so excruciatingly difficult for the public, well, you're really, to be argued, you're violating the open meeting law then because you're making it so that they don't want to hear the deliberations and everything because it lasts 4 hours and nobody's going to sit through a 4-hour meeting. So the things you can do to kind of tighten it up and make it move smoother and do your discussions in public are helpful, I think, for the open meeting law.
So you're saying controversial issues should be sent to the last
one? Yeah. as you can see, there's no crystal clear answers. You know, you can bring in different people and never give you different opinions on what violates the open meeting law or not. Would I read it probably a little not as tight as the Attorney General office? Yes, probably so. But that being said, we don't want to get close to the line. We don't want to go there. Well, there's no reason to go there. Do your business in public if at all possible. You know, we don't want to get close to the line where three of you are always talking about it and then you come here and you do it. You know, we don't want to have complaints brought. We don't want to have to deal with those issues. We want to stay clean and you know, have no problems, whether it's going to executive session or exactly. Just be careful and think about, you know, what you're doing. And when two or three people talk to you, think, is this getting close? I need to back off and tell them, no, let's wait till a meeting. Let's not discuss this.
So, quick question. I sent something to Tom. I just asked a question. It was just sent to Tom. I ran into Tom at the store and said, hey, Tom, I sent you an email. Just make sure you check it because I need an answer.
I don't have a problem with that at all. Okay. I think having two of you talk about some agenda item coming up, that doesn't really violate the open meeting law. If you're doing it consistently to try to do it so you don't have to talk to Tom about that issue in an open meeting, Then you can see where, oh, you're trying to circumvent the law. You're trying to get around the open meeting law that way. But for you to talk to some, let's say Tom's especially interested in the pipeline that runs, you know, off this direction, and he's more interested in that, and you talk to him about that periodically and whatnot, I don't think that violates the open meeting law. I think you're okay when you have two of you talking. What's interesting is Patrick County has three board supervisors.
Yeah.
Board supervisors can never talk to themselves unless it's in a public meeting. They don't.
Well, Hill County is the same.
Yeah, they can't go out and. Oh, yeah. So either county only has three. Yeah. No, it's strange. It's strange with three. Don't have a board of three. That's just weird.
That's why we have seven.
But their open their open meetings are weird too. So.
I don't. Do you discuss the price of ice with him? It's made out of water.
It's liquid acids.
I don't want to divert your thing.
No.
At some point, are we going to come to executive sessions?
Yeah, let's discuss it now.
I'm just reading something which is contrary to what we've been doing. And I just
okay.
Minutes of and discussions made at executive sessions shall be kept confidential, except from members of the public body which met in the executive session. we turn in our minutes every time we finish an executive. We don't have to do that, do we?
Well,
I'm reading,
all entities I've represented, they turn them in. That doesn't mean, you can go and look at them. Greg will have them. You can come in and look at them.
Larry has them.
We just don't want seven sets floating around the community. We want one place where we keep our executive session minutes, because there's only people that can look at them, or yourselves, your attorney, and the AG or the county attorney's office, if there's a complaint.
And the district manager look at them as well?
Yeah, anybody that's in the, anybody that was in the meeting can look at them, yes.
So those are not public records?
They are not public records.
I understand they're not public records, but that means even the, well, so shall be kept confidential, except means probably individuals should not have a copy.
That's the way we've always interpreted it, is you should take home a copy, because we can't control that.
Are we filing them? Is there a place we can go and read?
We can file.
I know we're a little behind on our file.
Well, there was, but.
So we should.
I'm not sure whether we're doing it right now.
Okay.
Staff doesn't keep a copy of them that I'm aware of. We certainly can. We have a secure place that.
By law, we have to. We have to keep a copy.
And Larry keeps them, but I believe you do.
Yeah.
If
you can just turn those over to him.
I mean, we don't have to. If we want to say Larry keeps them and he's got the place and he's keeping them, that would be okay. I've never seen that before. It's always been the staff that keeps the executive session minutes. But I just think it should be one person who has executive minutes. Obviously, you need somebody else who knows where they're at.
Larry's a good organizer, but the next secretary, which he won't be off until.
The way we got into trouble was our past executive session minutes disappeared.
Okay.
And we had no records whatsoever. So.
So I don't know, secretary for life.
I would prefer a locked cabinet here.
Well, that's what we're supposed to have.
That's what I would prefer.
Okay.
We've had stuff disappear out of locked cabinets.
Yeah. Our big problem is who controls the key to the magic.
But by the way, just to let you know, our water share agreements folder that was here magically got dropped off at Sidewinders.
What?
It was in my office and a chair. This happened after we cleaned the office.
Just
I know it wasn't there before, but somebody had dropped it off. It was a lady. That's all I know. Try to check cameras, I can see. So.
Now, let me just kind of close with the open meeting, and then we can take any other questions you have. The open meeting, I'm in favor of it. You know, if I was part of the legislature and I was looking at it and we had an open meeting law, I would be in favor of it. I think it's a good thing. I think it's a big, but it is difficult to run an organization like the district and comply with the open meeting law. Let's face it. If you had, if you had to comply with the open meeting law in your business, it's hard. It's difficult to do. So we have to jump through the
Any business owner in Pine and Strawberry will tell you what happens at the business is everywhere. So open meeting.
It is open.
Open meeting is available. People in Strawberry knows what happened in Pine before I even drive to Strawberry.
But it's difficult.
So there's no violation there.
Where every decision you make is in public. Right. Any private decisions, that's difficult. It's hard to do. But I understand the need for it, and I'm in favor of that need. I think it's good.
Quick question. I know they're listing all of the things that you can do in executive sessions. Mm-hmm. Does the attorney, advice of an attorney is one, but does the attorney need to be there? Listed as contract negotiations, but it's just discussion of price or whatever, the attorney have to be there?
The attorney does not have to be there on some of the agenda items. There's several that, obviously, attorney advice. If the attorney's not there, that's going to be an open meeting law.
What if you provide an opinion letter, and we're discussing that opinion letter in the executive session?
And is it for me?
It's for me.
You probably ought to be there.
Okay.
And then we do it by phone,
right?
And whatnot. There's a few examples in there. What I would say, no, you don't have to have your attorney there for the executive session.
Now, we've had situations in the past where we wanted to discuss employee issues. And I know it says, I think Russ had pointed out, that the the employee is supposed to be there.
What, you have to give the employee 24 hours notice that you're going to be discussing it in executive session. The employee has the right to say, no, I don't want it in executive session, it's going to be out in public. If he doesn't exercise that right, you go into executive session and discuss that employee. You don't have to have the employee in there. His only right is to have it, he or she, is to have it out in open meeting if he wants.
But they have to be invited.
They have to be given the notice and the opportunity to say, I want it in open meeting law. I want it in open meeting rather than executive session. Now, you can have the employee come in executive session. You can have anybody you want come into the executive session, but you have to invite them in. Nobody's entitled to be there without your control.
Do you find the, I use chapter 7 of the...
Agency handbook?
I think that's what it is. Yeah, I don't have the cover sheet, so I don't know what it's chapter 7 of what. It's chapter 7.
It's the Attorney General's office, I'm sure. Yeah.
Is that, you find that pretty good source?
It's a pretty good source. Again, okay. I think they...
They're a little tight.
A little tight, but okay. It's a good source, definitely.
All right.
Okay. Any questions from...
Do you want me to talk then about the public record law?
Yeah, I just want to talk about the open meeting. Any questions about the open meeting itself from any members of the board?
No.
I think the other key is ask. You know, if you have a question, ask Greg, he can get with me. You know, we get an answer, ask another board member, what do you think? Is this good, is this a good idea? You know, you can bounce it off somebody if you have any questions about it. So we all stay clean and away from the line. So don't have any complaints. So public records law. Public records shall be open to, I told you I wouldn't put you to sleep, did I, Forrest?
What?
Public records shall be open to inspection by any person at all times during office hours. That's basically your public records law.
Now, they have to fill out a request, and the request has to be evaluated?
It does not have to be a written request. It's what you guys require. It doesn't have to be evaluated either.
For example, somebody comes in and says, I want to see every personnel file or personnel file of your staff. Now, there's information in there, like Social Security, home addresses, and all that stuff. We can't just hand them the file.
Right. So every record you have is presumed to be a public record, okay? Doesn't mean they all are. They're just presumed to be a public record. So that's what you take it is. Yeah, everything should be disclosed, but there's some exceptions. And the exceptions are confidential by statute, attorney-client privilege is one of them. You know, if I do you a memo, you don't have to have that as a public record. That's for your advice from your attorney. Privacy interests of persons, Social Security numbers, those kind of things that would be redacted from any information we give out of the personnel file. So yes, that one would have to go to Greg, to me, to see what we're going to release out of that and what we're not going to release from privacy interests.
Yes. Or if somebody had wanted to know information about our customers, same kind of thing.
Customers, phone number, addresses.
We would take out. I'd have to do some research on that one. I've read both ways on addresses. We'll get commercial requests. Do you ever get a commercial request?
Oh, we don't get that many requests at all. But one of the things we've been talking on the staff level is we have a lot of information on people. We have names, phone numbers, addresses. We have credit card numbers, bank information, they're all part of records,
email
stuff, we have all that kind of stuff. And so we have, we have not, to my knowledge, while I have been here, had a request for information formal. We have people ask some questions, and we kind of said, well, time out, we're getting too close to the line of quality private information. If you want this information, make a formal request, we'll find out what we can release to you, and no one has taken us up on that offer.
And obviously from his list, you can see the things that we wouldn't disclose, credit card, bank account, obviously those we would never disclose.
Now, we could adopt a policy, I'm not sure if we have one, that says all requests must be submitted in writing, because for example, we don't want somebody coming in the middle of our office hours and say,
I need a list of whatever, now all of a sudden staff has to stop doing what they're doing.
Yeah, see, and remember, the public record says it shall be open to inspection. So what happens is...
It's the same way, not necessarily...
They said, I don't want copies, I want to look at your documents, I don't want copies.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to say when.
It has to be within a reasonable timeframe.
And somebody has to sit down with them and go through.
So you can say, fill out a request, we'll contact you within reason.
Almost every entity I represent has the, we have the fire bill.
I mean, Mr. Chair, on the board's website, we talk about, we have a section about information request. It talks about the procedure they're supposed to use, timeframes that the district is committed to make, and there is, in fact, a form that they're asked to fill out and return back to the district. So that is all published as part of our website.
Now, the only part I recall on that, I've looked at that when I first came on board, it seemed a little onerous. It couldn't be faxed, it couldn't be emailed. I mean, I don't know if that's my memory is right or not, but it appeared...
That's the form or the information?
That... There was something about it that was intentionally onerous to sort of...
It was the information.
I think it's the information, I don't think it's the form.
Okay, anyway, I just think we should look at it.
Because of the size of the public address form document, we cannot email you this form.
Yeah, and that's... We need to make a simple...
But it does say you can call us, we'll be glad to fax you a form, so I don't...
But our form shouldn't be so complicated it can't be emailed, for crying out loud. Our request form.
Okay, normally it's a one...
One page.
I was looking for some information from county assessors on some stuff, and, you know, it's a one-page deal, so...
Yeah, it should be one.
And most of the time, it's easier and more convenient to respond to that request with email...
Exactly.
As to have to copy it and give it to someone.
Let's not have a policy that makes it harder on us.
Yes.
That's silly. Now, the reason the law says reasonable amount of time is, it all depends on the request.
Sure.
You know, I mean, if they're asking for something from, you know, 10 years ago to current, it's going to take a lot longer than it is if they ask for something that was generated, one document that was generated last month.
We had a recent situation where I had sent out a report from a consultant, and I asked the board, it was a draft, I asked the board to keep it confidential. There was a discussion that the document should be made public, and my response, I think after several whatever, that if somebody makes a request, we can evaluate it at the time, but while it's draft, and since it does contain some information related to a contract or whatever, that didn't want this to go out, and I know you and I had that discussion afterwards. Can you address something?
Sure, yeah, and that's exactly what I was going to cover. Let me cover just one or two things, quick things, and then we'll get to that one. Commercial requests, if we do ever get any commercial requests, Greg, we can charge more for a commercial request.
Right.
We can charge staff time and right. Things.
Okay. I'm looking real quick.
And our form should say, is this a commercial request? And you can pretty much tell when it's a commercial request.
There was a mailing list delivered.
Yeah, exactly, those kind of things are, yeah. Now, if we drag our feet too long, they can sue us and get attorney's fees awarded for forcing us to comply with the thing. It's whether the custodian of the district or the records acts arbitrarily, capriciously, or in bad faith.
So, for example, we have a lot of our stuff down at the Auditor General's office. Okay, so somebody comes in and say, well, we don't have them, they're at the Auditor General.
Have them sent to do a public record request about Auditor General.
Okay.
If we don't have it, we're not.
So we have to have physically have it.
Well, or control of it.
Okay.
You know, I mean, but could they get it from the AG's office and the public record request? I assume AG's, does AG's, the attorney, the Auditor General's office not have a public record? All the onerous things they put on us.
They're real tight about it.
As a point of information, Mr. Chairman, this, I downloaded our form. It's only 2.2 meg, so most systems should allow
that. That's actually big for a form.
Well.
Oh, so we should change that. Say we'll email it to you, I think.
Yeah, man.
That makes sense. It makes it easier.
What I'll do is I'll email it to myself to see.
Well, it makes it, but again, 2.2 meg for a form seems kind of high.
There's, it's not just form, there's a lot of information about how it goes. The forms, there's only like 2 pages of it. I'm not saying it's, actually what I'll do is I'll email it to you.
That makes it better. Maybe look at it, yeah.
Right.
I think what they did is just scan it so we can do so. Anyways, that.
Okay, so to your scenario that we had come up, can the chairman ask for a document to be kept confidential? He can have it to you all guys, and sure he can. He can say, I want you to keep this confidential. Do you have to keep it confidential? No, you don't have to. I mean, if Mahler asked you to do it, you don't have to do that. You can go home and tell your wife. It's not, there's no law against, you know, so you can do it. Does it make it not a public record if you ask for it to be kept confidential? No, it's a public record, clearly. You know, somebody asked for it, you can do it. Does the public record law require that we advertise that document, that we put it on our website, that we post it out here? No, you know, there's no requirement for public record law that we tell people there's a document of that sort that's out there. And the document was basically, you know, some contract negotiations that were going on, and they hadn't been finalized, and so Maher was wanting to keep it, you know, not so that it's blasted out among everybody until it had been resolved and a meeting had been held and final decisions had been made on it. So I think we got a little, I think there was two different issues competing there. You know, one is, can you keep something confidential? If you want to, you sure can. You know, you don't have to go out and blab it all over town or put it on your website.
But had somebody know.
But if somebody had come in and done a public record request and you had asked me my opinion, it would have been clearly, yes, that's a public record. We cannot.
So the violation would occur is when somebody makes a request and we deny it.
And we don't get it to them in a reasonable amount of time.
Right.
Right. Right. We deny it right off the bat.
But the fact that we did not inform whatever, that's not a violation.
No. No. Typically, we don't decide. Greg doesn't look at it and make a decision. He doesn't ask me to make the decision on any document, whether it's a public record or not, until we get a request. We don't go through and, you know, well, this should be redacted.
We don't have a pile of public records and non-public records.
Yeah.
All I mean, essentially, every email we exchange is public record.
Yes.
But we don't advertise it, post it. We don't.
Now, there's a fairly recent case where Arizona Supreme Court came out and said that emails that you send that are personal aren't public record. But if you're sending out an email that has anything to do with the district, that's clearly a public record. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter whether you sent it, Russ, to Sharon, and you think it's confidential, and you know you don't want it to get out, and you're complaining about Larry or the attorney or whoever. It'll be out if somebody requests it. And there's no, your emails are open book.
And if I send it from my private email server, that's still public?
It's, if it involves district business, it's going to be declared public record.
Just in case.
Unless you're in the
Yeah, exactly. You can't get around the public record law by doing that and thinking you're protected. You're not. It is district business.
By way of practice, should we be sending everything through? I don't. I send some things through BSWID email. Some things want to have a private conversation with Sharon, I don't use my PSWID.
Right, right.
I use my personal
That's a good question.
Sharon's personal
one. I'm not sure that I can give the answer to that because it's such a convenience thing. But let's say we have a public records request and you have some on your private one that deal with business. Eventually, if you get in a big lawsuit, you're gonna have to turn it probably all over and the judge is gonna look at it and do it probably an in-camera inspection, which means that the judge does it in his office, it's not in public record, and he decides yes, yes, no, no,
Wasn't
yes, yes.
Was there a big squabble about that here recently? No, just kidding.
So it's kind of, you do it at your own peril. Sure. Now, I understand why you would do it, and I do the same thing, you know, so it's...
I was cheated, I didn't get a PSWID thing.
Everybody got a PSW ID.
You can have it, you want it.
What's that?
We can set you up. If someone doesn't have an email through the district, let me know, and we will have our computer people set you up so that you can have.
My recollection is when the new board members came on, I did instruct Karen to go ahead and add them and send out instructions, but we can check.
So my memory of the case that I was talking about was, let's say you're on your official web, your official email with this, but you send your wife a thing saying you're going to pick up dinner. That is not a public record.
Right.
Even though it's on the official one.
It used to be, Adam, as of 3 years ago, at least according to Peoria's attorney, if you utilize your own personal computer to send out any business, then anything on your computer could be subject to inspection.
Exactly. No, that's what I was saying to Russ. It could be subject to inspection, no doubt.
Yeah. And I know there's companies out there that do a keyword search so that.
Now, and then when we're talking about emails and using your official email, it really doesn't apply to you board members because you're only not getting paid, you know, so it doesn't matter whether you kind of use it. But typically, and I don't know what the district does, but we should have a policy where you know, how much employees can use.
The rule is that anything that they do, anything that any employee does, is subject to search by anyone through the public record. And so it's don't do anything on company equipment that you wouldn't want your mother to know about.
Any other questions?
And we also tell them that their emails are subject to search within the limits of the law at any time, that there is no expectation of confidentiality, privacy, anything that is done on company equipment, whether it's computers, phones, or anything.
Good.
All right, any other questions for Doug about either one of those two subject items?
And Larry's going to do a verbatim typing of these minutes because there's a lot of information.
No, Becky.
so comments so amended.
All right, I'll entertain a motion to conclude the work study session.
I so move.
I have a second.
I second.
You seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we conclude it. Thank you, Doug.